Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yuma Nun Dalad. We're holding towards the bottom on Nun Gimel Mabez. Perhaps let's just back up a bit to the beginning of the section in the Gemara. So we begin seven lines from the bottom of the Amud. Mishnah Nignas. We go back to the Mishnah, which tells us, you know, the Kohen Gadol would place the Keteris right near the Arayin, but that was when there was an Arayin in the Beis HaMikdash, throughout the Bayis Rishon. But Mishanita La'Arayin, the Mishnah says, once the Arayin was removed, instead of placing it next to the Arayin, he would place it on that stone, the Eben Shasiyah, which was situated on the Mokim of the Arayin. Says the Gemara, let's pay close attention to the Lashon of the Mishnah. Mishanignas La'Ketani, rather than saying Mishanignas La'Arayin, which would indicate that the Arayin was hidden in some hidden chamber underground, rather than say that, what does it say? It says Mishanita, Ela Mishanita, which is a raya that this Tana holds that the Arayin was not hidden in some concealed tunnel chamber underground, rather it was taken away to Golos Bavel. Tanan, our Mishnah is a raya, Kimanda Omar, like that Shita, which holds Arayin Golo LeBavel. The Arayin went into Golos together with Kal Yisrael to Bavel. The Sanya, we actually have a machlokes as to what exactly happened with the Arayin. You know, we have all kinds of theories regarding the other Klei HaMikdash. The Gemara speaks about the Parochas having been seen in Rome. The Gemara speaks about the Tzitz having been observed in Rome. We know there's the Arch of Titus, which has a depiction of the Menorah, which indicates that perhaps the Menorah as well was taken to Rome. The Gemara in Gittin speaks about Titus gathering together many Klei HaMikdash in a Parochas and taking it along to Rome. So, regarding the other Klei HaMikdash, some we know, some we speculate as to the exact location. But when it comes to the Arayin, we have a clear-cut discussion in the Gemara. Actually, have machlekes, the Sanya. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, he says, Arayin gola lebavel. The Arayin went to Bavel together with Israel. Shenemar, Luchubas Hashana, Sholach HaMelech, Nebuchad Netzar, Vayivi Ehu. And he went and he took Yehoyachin HaMelech, Bavela to Bavel im Klei Chemdas Beis Hashem. And what is the Klei Chemdas Beis Hashem? That is the Arayin which contains the Luchos, the Chemdas Hashem. Reb Shimon Chai Omer, he also held that it went to Bavel Arayin Golo LeBavel Shenemar. This is from another pasuk. La'Yivaser Davar Amar Hashem. Hashem warned them, nothing will remain behind. Davar is something specific here. Elo Aseres Hadibrois Shabbai. It's referring to the Arayin which contains Aseres Hadibrois. So according to Rabbi Elazar and according to Shimon Chai, the Arayin ended up in Bavel. As opposed to Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Arayin Bimkayim Nignas. It was hidden underground in that very place, meaning below the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Shenemar Vayiro Rashi Abadim Min HaKodesh Apnei Advir V'lo Yiro HaChutza. The pasuk is describing the poles, the badim on each side of the Arayin, which would extend themselves into the Parochas and would be visible, somewhat visible on the other side of the Parochas, as we're going to learn Be'ezus Hashem, the upcoming daf. In any case, the main point is the conclusion of the pasuk. Vayiyu Sham Ad Hayom Hazeh. And that's where they remained, in their place, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, although not above ground. But it was concealed down below in a hidden chamber. The Gemara speaks about Yeshua Melech hiding the Arayin in some hidden compartment deep, deep, deep underground, which was actually prepared for this purpose by none other than Shlomo HaMelech when he built the Beis HaMikdash in the first place. He anticipated this development and he prepared some hidden chamber deep, deep, deep underground for this purpose. So we have two shittas, Rabbi Lezer, Shimon Chai, hold the Arayin went to Bavel, and Rabbi Yehuda holds it was b'mkoymai nignas. Says the Gemara, this version of Rabbi Shimon Chai, the fact that we present Rabbi Shimon's shita as such, that Arayin gadol lebavel, is in disagreement with another version of Rabbi Shimon ben Chayshit, Upliga de Ula. Why? The Amar Ula. Ula maintained that Rabbi Shimon ben Chay held that the Aron was actually hidden in its place, buried deep underground. As we find in the following story, the Amar Ula, Shal Rabbi Masya ben Charash, es Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai ben Roimi. Rabbi Masya ben Charash lived in Rome, and once when Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai was visiting, he asked him a question. What do you hold, Rabbi Shimon? V'chimi acha she Rabbi Eliezer. Melamdeinu pam rishoinu ushniya. Since Rabbi Eliezer taught us once and again, meaning from two separate sources, that the Aron galo lebavel, that the Aron ended up in Bavel, rishoinu hadamar, the first source, is the one that we just mentioned, the pasuk which says "Vayivi Eyu Bavela Im Kleicham Despes Hashem," which indicates that the Aron ended up in Bavel. Shnia Mai, what is the second source for this concept? Dechsev Vayetze Mibas Tzion Kol Hadora. All the beauty, the glory of Tzion left it. My Kol Hadora. What is it referring to? Chadora. The drasha, the hey and the ches are sometimes interchangeable; they sound alike. So the word Hadora is a reference to the treasure, the Aron, which was gone, as Rashi says, b'chadri chadorim, in an inner chamber. So the Aron was taken out and taken to Babel. So this is Rabbi Lezer. He has two sources. The Aron went along with Yisrael to Babel. Ata, you, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, ma toimer, what do you hold? As per the Aron's destination. Amar lo yisi, says to Mishani Omer, I maintain, Aron b'mkoyim enignas. It was hidden in its place, in a chamber, underground. Shnemar, Vayiruchu Abadim, etc., etc. And the pasuk concludes, Vayiusham ad hayom hazeh, which indicates that it is still there, in the same location, up until and including today. Now, what is the pshat? How do you explain these two shitas? So, we have actually a tesis back on, I think it's Vav Amud Aleph, where he says, you know, sometimes we have a pasuk which indicates one way, another pasuk which has an implication in the other direction, and the the Amoraim can support their shittas based on the various pasukim. But the question is why? Why they choose to pick this pasuk over the other? Such as in this case, we have conflicting implications between two pasukim. And he says that Taisa says that it's really based on svaris. Each one had an opinion, and that pulled them in a certain direction to darshan one pasuk over the other. So perhaps in this case we can say that the shita of Rabbi Lezer, that the Aron went to Babel, it holds that the Aron which contained the Torah is so much connected to Yisrael, and when Yisrael go to Babel, the Torah, which they take care of, which they look after, goes along with them. Whereas the other shita maintained that the Aron was b'mkayim enignas. The mokim of the Aron was a miraculous, magical capsule of time, of space, I should say. It was not min hamida to take up any space on the floor plan. So some miraculous phenomenon belonged right there. It was meant to stay in its mokim, although not above surface, rather below. So in any case, he responded, this is Rav Shimon ben Yochai, according to this version of the Gemara, that the Aron was b'mkayim enignas. So we have two shitas, two versions in Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai's shita. According to the Braisa, he held was Aron Gadol LeBavel. According to Ula's opinion, he held that it was Nignaz Mimkayme. Amalei Rabbi Ula. So Rabbi asks Ula, my mashma, what's the indicator in the pasuk? How do you see from this pasuk? The pasuk says Vayiruchu Abadim, and it concludes with the words Vayusham Adayim Hazeh. How do you see from that pasuk that the Aron was Nignaz b'mkaymai? She says, well, Tichsev Ayusham Adem Hazeh. Okay? Because it says it's there. It's there up until including today. So he responded and he says, this is part of his kash, this is my mashma. How do you see from the pasuk? Tichsev Ayusham Adem Hazeh? Is that what you meant to say? Because of that phrase? V'chalehecha Tichsev Adayim Hazeh lo elamu? Do you mean to say whenever we have this phrase mentioned, Adayim Hazeh, it's eternal, it's forever, for all time? Well, I'll show you a pasuk which contains the same phrase and inevitably doesn't mean doesn't mean for all time. And perhaps in this case as well. V'oksiv v'apasik, which says, v'asayivusi yoshev Yerushalayim lo yirishu b'nei Binyamin. So the Yevusi people in Yerushalayim were not banished by Binyamin, they were left in their place. V'yeshev ha'yivusi yisbir Binyamin b'Yerushalayim adim hazeh. And these fellows kept Bnei Binyamin company in Yerushalayim ad hayam hazeh, up until today, for all time. Hachinamid loiko, I even suggest that they stayed there throughout the Golus, never left, and that can't be, it's impossible. Because nobody remained behind. The entire area was desolate and abandoned. V'atanya Rabbi Omer, chamishim u'shtayim shana. There was a period of 52 years during the Golus Bavel, lo yavar ish b'Yehuda, throughout the whole Yehuda province of Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim included, nobody was to be found here. It was totally abandoned. Shenemar alehurim eser b'chi. This was Yirmiyah, Hanavi, lamenting the future destruction of Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael. And he says, alehurim eser b'chi, on account of the desolate and destroyed mountains, I will raise my voice and crying and sorrow. V'al no'is midbar kino kinitetsu mibli ish. It was destroyed and left without anybody there. Mibli ish over, without anybody passing through. V'loi shomu koil mikne. And they wouldn't hear even a sound of any mikne, any livestock. And the pasuk continues, Me'ev ha'shamayim v'ad behema. Nodadu holchu. Everybody, from the birds to the behema, disappeared. Now, why mention behema again? You just mentioned that you wouldn't hear any sound of behemas, of livestock. So why the repetition? There's a drasha to be inferred. A gematria, behema, begematria, chamishim v'shtayim havu. The word behema in gematria is 52. And that's the message here. There were 52 years of absolute desolateness, emptiness, abandonment. Even the Yevusi weren't there. So you can't say that the Yevusi were there ad hayem hazeh, up until including today. Not only that, we find that throughout the entire Yisrael there was a period of absolute destruction. V'tanya b'yesu emer, sheva shanim, for a period of 7 years, niskaima, this klola was fulfilled. Gafris v'melach v'es Yisrael. Throughout Eretz Yisrael, there was a klola of gafris v'melach applied, full of sulfur and salt. How do we know this? V'om Rabbi Yechon, my time at Rabbi Yosi. Has he noticed? Asya bris bris. He applies exeris shava between two words bris. Ksiv hacha v'higbir bris l'rabim. Shavu echad. The pasuk here by the Churban says that the goyim will magbir. The concept of bris, they apply the terrible consequence of neglecting the bris with Hashem. This went on for how long? Shavua echad, for 7 years. What exactly was this consequence? Uksiv hasam. V'pasak and Devarim, v'amru al asher ozru es bris Hashem elokei avosam. The pasuk is describing the fact that the land will be filled with gafris v'melach, sulfur and salt, for this reason, al asher ozru, because Klal Yisrael abandoned the bris with Hashem. And we draw that parallel, the bris over here, being described as something which went on for 7 years, is this dire consequence as a result of neglecting the bris Hashem, which brought gafris v'melach, absolute and utter destruction. Throughout the entire Yisrael for 7 years, you cannot possibly say that the Yevusi was still sitting in Eretz Yisrael in Yerushalayim, even though it says Aliyah Mazeh. So apparently Aliyah Mazeh just means, you know, up until this point, time of writing, not eternity. Amalei, so Ula responds, this is the difference between the two psukim. Hachak says Sham. By the Aron it says, Vayu Sham Aliyah Mazeh. They remained in place for all time. Hosam leksiv sham, but the Yevusi, it says, they sat there, adayim hazeh. They sat in Yerushalayim with Bnei Binyamin, adayim hazeh. Perhaps, yeah, they followed Bnei Binyamin around, wherever they went. Not necessarily sham in Yerushalayim. But sham means for all time. And therefore we assume the Aron was placed underground in that same location. Chalayichat achsiv sham la'ilamu. So do you mean that Sham denotes forever? Meisvei. We have another pasuk which indicates otherwise. Mehem min bnei Shimon, hochul harseir. Some fellows of Shimon went to harseir. to wage war. Anoshem chomish meis. Oplatio, Benario, Farfio, Bazil, Bnei Yishi, Broshem. Vayaku es sheiros ha-pleite l'Amalek. They struck the leftover, the remnants of the Amalekim. Vayeshvu sham adayim hazeh. And they took over the area and they sat there until today. Here we have everything. Sham hayim hazeh. And we know that it wasn't for all time. Ufar Ola Sancherev, this king Sancherev, who was Melech Asher, already came up and he mixed everything up. Ubil Bukla Rotzis. And he overturned all the lands and the nations. Shanemar Va'asir, Vlois Amim, I'm going to remove the boundaries between the nations. Va'astudei Seyem, Shesati, and their steadfastness, their treasures, whatever they have, Shesati, I plundered. So he's boasting that he went ahead and he mixed all the nations up. We no longer have anybody occupying, inhabiting their personal space, their personal land. Everything was mixed up. And you cannot possibly say that the Bnei Shimon are still sitting in Har Seir, even though we have a phrase included in that pasuk of Vayeshu Sham Ad Hayom Hazeh. So apparently it doesn't necessarily mean for all time. Tiyufta, indeed, this is a refutation. Apparently, even when the pasuk would use the term Yusham Adayim Hazeh, it doesn't necessarily mean something that extends permanently. Rather, it's referring to the time of writing, time of printing. And therefore, the Uriya no longer really holds up. So the Shita is still intact. I mean, Shimon Rechai clearly says that the Aron was Bimkoimai. Nignas, but the Uriah from this pasuk isn't necessarily a Uriah. Omar of Nachman, so now we had two shittas as to the location of the Aron, Babel or deep down below. Omar of Nachman, we actually have a third shita. Tana, Chacham Raimim, Aron Belishkas Dira Eitzim Hayuk Nagonis. They maintain that the Aron was hidden underground in the Lishkas HaEitzim, the firewood storage room in the Beis HaMikdash. Amar Nachmar Yitzchak, Afanana Mitarnino. We actually have arrived to this from a Mishnah Shkolim, which says, Ma'ase b'koyin echad, Shemis Asik. It was the story of a koyin who was Bimis Asik, Rashi says, is Bitil, a schoik, just clowning around, enjoying himself in this room, which was actually not appropriate behavior for the Beis HaMikdash. And what happened? V'ra'o Ritzpa. And he noticed one of the tiles was seemed to have been out of place, seemed to have been removed and replaced. He noticed something strange, and he figured that must be the hiding place of the Aron. And he went over and he started telling his friend about this strange thing. And he didn't get to actually finish describing what he saw and pinpointing the exact location. By the time he got to that point, he died. And as a result, all around him knew. It was clarity. Shisham Oren Gonuz. In fact, that must be the place where the urn is hidden. So this is the Shittas Chachamim, that the urn was nignaz in the Lishkas Dira Eitzim. Perhaps it's connected to the pasuk of Eitz Chaim L'machzikim Bo V'Samchei Ma'usher. That regardless of where we're found, in Yisrael or in Babel or wherever it is in Golis, one can still hold on to the eights of Torah. The Chachamim say, "Ein loy laKadosh Baruch Hu." You know, after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, the Shachar Beis Hamikdash, "Ein loy laKadosh Baruch Hu ba'olami elo dalad amas shalach b'levad." When a person sits down and learns the Beis Medrash or whatever it is, this is the makom of Torah. This is the makom of the Beis Hamikdash in Golis. So it was hidden in the Lishkas Dir HaEitzim. Eitz Chaim il machzikim bo, you can still hold on to the Eitz Chaim of Torah. Mayava Ovid. So we have the story where the fellow passed away. After noticing that the Aron's Mokim, what exactly was he doing there? Amar b'chel b'mis asik b'kardum yihaya, he was playing around, horsing around with his axe, and that's why he got an einish to this effect. Tana dver b'shmal, we have another, a similar version, a different story. Shnei kehanim, bali mumen hayu, maslin beitzim. The two kehanim, balimum, who are unfit for avodah, and the only thing they can really do is check the firewood for worms. They were maslin beitzim, checking for toilaim, in this very room, in the lishkas dira eitzim. V'nishmanta kardumo shlechtme. And one of their axes slipped out of the handle. V'nafloshon, and landed right on that spot, right on top of the urn. V'yotis ha'esh v'achlose. And a fire came out and consumed, some say consumed the axe. And this way they knew. They knew that apparently that was a special spot. Rabbi Yehuda asked a stira between two psuk regarding the badei har and the poles protruding from the arm. One pasuk says, "Ksiv vayiro roshei abadim," that the tips of the poles would be seen where? In the heichal. So they would come sticking out of the kodesh kodashim through the opening. We're speaking perhaps during Bayis Rishon, where there was a wall, a dividing wall, Amatraxon. And in the middle of the Amatraxon, there's a Pesach, of course, which was covered by a curtain. And the Badim made their way through that opening, and they poked out into the Heichal. So you would see them. You would see them slightly in the Heichal. Vayiro Rosh HaBadim. It would be seen in the Heichal. And another pasuk seems to contradict that. Uksiv v'lo yirah chutzah. They wouldn't be seen outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay, so how do we understand the pesukim? Nirin ve'nirin. They would be visible somewhat, but not entirely visible. As the one soon will explain. Tanam Yoch. Likewise, you find in the Braisa. Vayiro Rosh HaBadim. The Rosh HaBadim would be seen from beyond the Kodesh HaKadoshim. To be seen from the Heichal. Yochel lo yu zazim l'mkaimon. Now, how does this work? The pasuk says that the badim are meant to be planted on the side of the earth. Lo yosuru mimenu, you can't remove the badim from within the rings, which holds them together with the earth. So yochel lo yu zazim l'mkaimon, they wouldn't be moved around. If that's the case, how could they extend themselves over to the Pareichas? It just wouldn't work. The iron was right in the middle of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the Badim were just merely 5 amas long, and there was a space of at least 10 amas from there to the iron. It couldn't possibly reach the from there to the Pareichas. It couldn't possibly reach the Pareichas. So how did that work? Yeah. They did extend and reach till the Pareichas. The Mashal says apparently it's called the Aydei Neis, which extended the Badim so that they're visible from the outside. I'm going to see soon why. Now, once we say that, they're extended, and they're visible outside, yochel yu mekarin beperechas v'yotzim, perhaps they would actually break through, tear through the perechas, and stick out into the heichel. No, they wouldn't be seen outside. So, which way was it? Was it seen or not seen? Haketzad, how do we explain this? Says the Gemara, we make a compromise. Doichkin Ubotin v'yoytzin v'pareches. The two badim wouldn't actually push through the pareches. They would just create a little bit of a bump. They would protrude a bit. Doichkin ubotin v'yoytzin pareches. And they would be visible a bit on the other side. V'nirin kishnei da isha, and would appear like the two breasts of an isha. Shenemar tsuroir hamoir doidili. This pasuk describes a deep relationship between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. Like a bundle of incense, besamim is doidili, my beloved Hashem is to me. Bein shaddai yalin, who rests between my two shaddaiim. Here as well, the badim coming out of the arayin, the luchais, and appearing in this manner, give that impression of the shnei dadi isha, which symbolized the close relationship between Hashem and Klal Yisrael, the shechina which rests on the arayin, bein shnei dadi isha, rests on Klal Yisrael. The Marsha says that the words Bein Shaddai, if moved around, the letters moved around, spell Shnei Bade. So that's the remez. Amar of Katina, furthermore, says of Katina, B'shah Shehoi Yisroi Ilna Regal. When Yisroi would come up to Beis HaMikdash to be Ilna Regal, Megalun Lohem Es HaPareichas. They would roll up the Pareichas in front of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Umarin Lohem Es HaKruvim. And they would show them that the kruvim by the Arin, which symbolized Hashem and Kal Yisrael. The two Kruvim were Shayum Urim Zebezeh, they were wrapped, they were hugging each other. As Rashi says, Mudubakin Zebezeh, Vachuzin, Umachapkin Zebezeh, Kezachar Achevik Esanakev. So that's what they would show to Kal Yisrael. And they would tell him, look, take a look. Ruchi Baschem, Fnei Mokem. Look how dear you are to Hashem. Kechibas Zachar Nekeva. Like the Chiba of a Zachar and a Keva. The Maral explains the connection between Ish V'Isha and Hashem and Klal Yisrael as follows. He says, Ish V'Isha represent different domains, different realms. The Ish is the Mashpia, the Isha is the Mikabelis, and the Ish is the provider, the Isha the recipient. Likewise, he says, the Mashal of Ish V'Isha represents the deep relationship between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. Here too, Hashem is the Ish, the Mashpia, the provider, exuding forth a constant stream of Toiv and love to Klal Yisrael. V'ani kirvas alakim li Toiv. Toiv Hashem l'koyav is a constant Hashpah coming forth, and we as recipients, as the Isha in this equation, are there to receive his true goodness. And by doing mitzvahs, learning Torah and davening, we avail ourselves, we make ourselves worthy of being mekabel that goodness of kirvas elokim l'toiv. So by doing so, we connect to Hashem, bond together and fuse with Hashem as two parts of one entity. Just as the bonding between the Ish and the Isha, who bond together as two parts of one entity. So that was the point of showing them the Kruvim, hugging each other, which was the Ava displayed by Hashem to Klal Yisrael. Moser Achiz, he had a kasha. How can we allow people to just see the Arim? It's not allowed. The Pasuk in Sefer Midbar says that the Kohanim would actually wrap up the Klei HaMikdash, including the Arim, before the Levim would come to transport the Klei HaMikdash. So they wouldn't see the Arim. They wouldn't see the Kelim, which was forbidden. You couldn't take a look at it. V'lo yavoyu lirois ki balas ha-kodesh. The Levim wouldn't be allowed to see when the kodesh was wrapped in its wrapping. V'omar v'yidom rab v'sh'asach nosas kelim l'nartik shalem. This is referring to when the kelim were inserted into their cases. So you couldn't just take a look at the klei hamikdash. Why was it different here? Why would they allow Yisrael to just take a look at the Arim? Omer of Nachman, it depends at what point in history and how intense the relationship between Hashem and Yisrael was. Omer of Nachman Mashal, it's a Mashal Lekala, Kolzman she beveis avia, before marriage, when she's still at home, Tznu mebala, she's a bit bashful from her husband. And likewise, Klal Yisrael, in the Midbar, had that madrega of closeness to Hashem. It wasn't really fully developed, and therefore at that point they couldn't just freely gaze at the Klei HaMikdash. They had to keep a certain distance. Kiva shebasal beis chamir, as soon as marriage takes place and she joins her husband, she arrives at her in-law's home, einas nu mebal, she's no longer bashful from her husband. Likewise, once we arrived at the Beis HaMikdash, a place of permanence, that was considered like a fully developed marriage, in which case at that point Klal Yisrael is free to take a look at least at these moments of opportunity during the Oile Regel, take a look at the Arein and appreciate the deep relationship between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. Masr Rav Chana, Rav Katina, yet another kash. Masr B'Koyin Echa Shem Asasik V'Chul. We just mentioned the story, Mishnah Shkolim, which took place during Bayis Sheni, after the iron was already hidden, and he was in that room, his axe dropped down, and, sorry, he noticed the stone, he went out to tell everybody, and he died. Apparently Hashem didn't want him to see the iron. It was forbidden to take a look at the iron. So you see, even after they arrived at the Beis HaMikdash, that Israel was still in place. Amalei! So he responded. He said like this, Nisgar Shokamris. So who's the one who was challenged of Katina? He was the one who said that they would take a look at the Kruvim. So he responded, Nizgar Shuk Amris. Oh, you're referring to by Sheni. After divorce took place, after the Churban took place, Churban by Srishan, now it's a different story. Nizgar Shuk Chazru L'Chibas Rishon. After Gershon, after they were banished, the Smash was destroyed, the relationship took a turn downward. So even though the Beis Midrash was rebuilt, but it didn't really reattain its former glory, and the relationship as well was downgraded somewhat, they went back to the original state, the relatively lower level relationship which they experienced in the Midbar, in which case the Arayin was off limits. Okay. Now says the Gemara, let's analyze this Gemara. We speak about the Shnei Badei Harayin protruding through the Kparoiches and were visible from the outside. We learn about the fact that they rolled up the Paroiches to take a look at the Kruvim. But my Askinan, what are we speaking about? In the name of Migdash Rishon, during the first place of Migdash, when there was an Aron, when there were Kruvim, Mihavai Paroiches? Since when was there a Paroiches? Between Heichel and Kadesh HaKadosh, there was a wall. So what do you mean they rolled up the Paroiches? Ela b'Migdash Sheni. Apparently we're speaking during the second Beis HaMikdash, where there was a Paroiches between Heichel and Kodesh HaKadosh. We have a Kruvim. How did you find Kruvim there? The Aron went missing, and so did the Kruvim, together with the Aron, as we learned back in Maseches Yoma. There were several items missing in Beis HaMikdash Sheni. The Aron, the Kruvim, etc. So how does this description work? We have Kruvim with a Paroiches together. Certainly we're speaking about the first place of Midrash. My Pareches, we speak about a curtain, it's not the Pareches which replaced the wall. Pareches, the Bavi, we're speaking about curtains which were hung up to close up the openings, the doorways. It was a solid wall there, but it had a Pesach for access to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and there was a curtain hung up in front of that Pesach. Domer Bezerah, Amarab, Shloisha Asa Pareches. There were actually 13 Pareches in the Migdash. He's actually speaking about the Beis HaMikdash Hasheni. But the concept applied even during Migdash Rishon. There was a Pareches, one per entrance. Shiva Keneged Shiva Sharim. Seven curtains hung up opposite the seven gateways into the entrances into the Azara. Shtayim, there were another two. Achas lepischa shel heichel in front of the Pesach haheichel, achas lepischa ulam for the Pesach of the ulam. Shtayim bedvir. Now this is basically the sheni. There was no amatraxin. Instead, there were two curtains hung on either side of that ama border space between heichel and kodesh hakadoshim. Ushtayim connected to baliyah. Another two curtains, which were hung on that very same spot, up on the aliyah on the second floor above that amatraxin, once again to separate between the Kedusha of the upper floor of the Heichel section of the upper floor and the Kedusha Kedushim section of the upper floor, and they needed two Pareches on either side of that no man's land. So in total we have 13 Pareches in the second Beis HaMikdash, seven of which were attached to the Sh'arim of the Azara, two, one for the Heichel, one for the Pesach of the Ulam, and likewise during the Shrishim, they also had these curtains for Tznius purposes, to close off the entranceways. So when we speak about the Pareches to the Kodesh HaKadosh being rolled up, it's that Pareches which was hung in front of that doorway. We had a solid wall with a Pesach, and there was a Pareches blocking that Pesach. They rolled it up to take a look at the Kruv. Let's take a look at Rashi, perhaps, about 19, 20 lines from the top. Beginning with the words Nirin ve'Nirin. It says Rashi, we're speaking about the Badim which were protruding a bit through the Pareches. The farsh v'azim b'braisa, the more explains in the braisa, she'doich kinu b'otim pareches, they would protrude a bit through the pareches v'nirin, they would be visible on the other side, and appear kishnei tadi isha, she'botim b'tachas chaluka, which are visible by the isha. V'yoytim pareches, which pareches? We're speaking about during Bais Rishon when there was an arayin. So there was an amatraxon as well, the solid wall between Heichel and Kodesh HaKadoshim. How do you find the Pareches? Rashi says, yeah, that Pareches which simply covered the entranceway, the Pesach, within that wall. V'yoysin v'pareches ha'prusa k'neged Pesach, sheba mechitas amatraxin, v'pesach b'emtza amatraxin hoya. Mikdash Rishon. So of course it was a wall, but there was a Parechas as well. Hung in front of the Pesach within that Amma, within that wall, through which the Badim would stick through. Next Gemara speaks about the Kruvim, which were Medubokin, Zebezeh, V'achuzin, Mechapkin, they're hugging each other, Gezachar, Achevik, Sanakeva, Mu'urim, Lashon Dibuk, K'moy Ilon, Shenivshach, Mu'ur, B'klipa, B'sechas Peitzah, when Mu'urim is beginning, Asur, we find the Lashon Mu'urim to denote connection and wrapping. And the question was, taking a look at the Aron, is Asur. V'lo Yavo Lirois, we find that the Levim, Shev, Midbar, wouldn't be allowed to see the Kalim. Avo, B'shoy, Nois, and Klei, HaKodesh, because if although they personally carried the Kalim, they weren't allowed in when the Mikdash was taken apart. They don't have to wait a while until all the Kalim were covered and wrapped in their cases. The Gemara responds, there's a difference between the relationship that Klai Yisrael enjoyed in the Midbar, which was a less intense relationship with Hashem, like a Kala b'Veisaviyah, b'Eroseh, when she's still engaged, Av Yisrael b'Midbar, adayin lo hiugasa m'shchina, they didn't have that close relationship, which changed in the Beit HaMikdash Rishon, but then reverted back during Mikdash Sheni Nesgar Shekamris, Hay Ma'is Vaisheni Ava, during Vaisheni Lachash Nesgar Shekamachashim, after the Gershon took place and they were taken back, Lechibasa Rishoina, so reverted back to the original lower intensity relationship, Lechilas Chibasan, Shein Gasin Zebezeh, and in which case they were not allowed to see the art. And the Gemara asks further, well, we roll up the Parechah so that I could see the Kruvim, but my askinon, what are we speaking about? Hai Megalin HaParechas or Marlin HaKruvim. You roll up the Parechas and you show them the Kruvim. How can you have both elements at the same time? Kruvim and the Parechas. So during Midash Rishon, there was no Parechas. During Midash Sheni, how do you find Kruvim? Kruvim went along with the Aron, either to Golas or hidden in the ground. We have a Kruvim to Kasanka Dayach. The Gemara figures at this point, the Kruvim. That was speaking about those Kruvim which Shloimei HaMelech positioned near the Aron. This was in addition to the Kruvim, the gold Kruvim on top of the Aron. He crafted these forms, these Kruvim, which were positioned near the Aron. And those were the Kruvim which the Gemara described as hugging each other to denote the close relationship with Hashem and Klal Yisrael. And Gemara is assuming it didn't exist during Bayis Sheni. So how can you have both together? Parochas and the Kruvim. Says the Gemara, it's during Bayis Rishon. The Parochas is not that Parochas which came instead of the Amatraxin. The Bavi, Shekineged Apsochem, Pesach Ulam, V'Eichel. Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim was speaking about curtains which were hung along the Psachim of those walls. Shleishesri paroicha is hayu b'migdashin. Shiva l'shiva sharazara. Shtayim b'dvir, which means b'mokim akad amatraxin. So instead of the stone wall between Kodesh and Kodesh HaKadoshim, there was that double paroicha's arrangement. Ushnayim k'negdan l'chlochutz bin aliyas ha'echal. Aliyas b'esek l'chlochutz. Same concept that applied down on bottom, applied up on top. In the aliyah, there was a second floor, and there as well, they had to separate between two kedushas. And they had a double parochas up on top. Now, just as we see that during Migdash Sheni there were parochas all along the entranceways for tznius purposes, for privacy. Let's assume the same by Migdash Rishon. The parochas described here was not the parochas instead of that wall. We're speaking about a parochas simply hung up by the Pesach. We had a wall between Kodesh HaKadoshim. It was a Pesach in the middle. The Pareches hung up for privacy. That Pareches was furled up to display the Kruvim. Continues more with another Teretz. We had a Kasha. How could the Pareches and the Kruvim have been there at the same time? Pareches denotes Bayis Sheni. Kruvim Bayis Rishon. So one Teretz was Bayis Rishon. The Pareches opposite the Pesach. Says the Gemara four lines from the bottom. Another teretz. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar lo elu midas sheni. You know what? Let's speak about midas sheni. Where we had no amatraxon wall, rather a double curtain arrangement. And that's the curtain I was speaking about. How do you find kruvim during bayis sheni? We're not speaking about those kruvim that Shlomo HaMelech made. Ukruvim the tzurasa habu kaim. We're speaking about engraved kruvim within the walls. It's artistically designed. The kruvim is gold and wood engravings within the walls of Kodesh HaKadoshim. Those things, Havu Kaimi, they were there during Midas Sheni. And it was those kruvim that Kaisro allowed to see. And apparently they had some mamashas to them. They would present this display of the Av and the Chiba of Hashem to Kaisro. Tichsev, as we find in a pasuk, regarding Bayis Rishon, which also featured these designs within the walls of the Kodesh HaKadosh. Nachsev is called Kiris HaBayis Masakala. They were designed with these netted designs. Kruvim, all these forms, these faces of tumaris, these palm trees of peturit, tzitzim, these flowers. Vetzipazov, covered with gold. Miyusha ala machuka uksiv. We have another pasuk which says, Kimar ish veloyes. What does this mean? My kemar ish veloyes. I'm a rabba bar of shila. This symbolized the closeness of Hashem to Klal Yisrael. Kemar ish veloyes, like the ish hugging the ish. Ki ish hamura veloyes shaloi. Says Rashi up on top. Ki ish hamura veloyes shaloi hanidbak bechobak biish to mezra Yisuf. So that's the answer to the kasha. Perhaps it's by Yisheni, where we had these peroiches between the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Heichal, and that's what they rolled up in order to display the intense love of Hashem to Klal Yisrael, which was expressed via these kruvim forms which were engraved in the walls, which would present themselves as such in a manner which represents the av and chiba of an ish to an isha, Hashem to Klal Yisrael. Continues Gemara, Amar Ish Lakish, b'sha'a she'nichnesu nachem la'hichal. At that point in time, when the Goyim entered the Heichal to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, they noticed something which to them seemed strange and unbecoming. Ro'u kruvim hamurim zeh bazeh. They noticed the kruvim hugging each other, which to them seemed unbecoming and mundane. Hoitzion l'shuk, they brought them out to the street. Ve'amru, and they announced, Yisrael, alo, these Jews, she'berchasam bracha. Look, they occupy such a prominent a place in this world there, that words carry weight, that bracha is effective. V'kilolos and klola, and their curses are effective. Yasku b'dvar malolo, should be engaged in these mundane matters. And they looked at it as a mundane matter, which of course is untrue. Miyad hizilum, as a result of that, they lost respect for Yisrael. They were mezalzal in them. Shnamar kol mechabedeh, all those that previously respected Klal Yisrael, hizilua. They became cheap in their eyes, kiro or vasa, because they observed the lowliness, the things which in their perception seemed to be mundane and unfitting to the stature of Klal Yisrael. An interesting kashi on the Gemara. See, the Gemara elsewhere speaks about the chiba expressed by the kruvim, which was only expressed when Yisrael were oisin ritzon shel mokim. When Klal Yisrael behaved, this was a display, a corresponding display of Ava from Hashem to Yisrael. How did this happen during this Zman HaChurban, which is a time of destruction and Einish and Avira? How was it that the same expression of love would be expressed in this intense manner? That's so beautiful. Pshat, they say during the Churban, Adrab, just the opposite. That was the time when Hashem really, really was expressing a very, very deep love to Klal Yisrael. Look, Hashem was willing, Kaviyachal, to destroy his Beis HaMikdash, to send his beloved children into Golus, all for the sake of fixing them up, bringing them to Tikkun, to Tshuva, to make them Roy, for the Shlemus, for the Hatov HaAmitis, for the goodness that he wants to give them and they really deserve. So Kaviyachal, Hashem was willing to sacrifice, to undergo kaviyachal tzar, tzar hashchina, tzar hagolus, For what? For the sake of his beloved Shon v'Klai Shon. So indeed, how appropriate a time to display the tremendous Ava that Hashem has to Klai Shon at that very time of Churban. Hashem showed them that this whole Churban process is merely a passionate expression of a deep-seated love of Hashem to Klai Shon. Continues the Gemara, Ushtiyos and Nikris, getting back to the Mishnah. The Aron was no longer there. All they had left was the Eben HaShasiyah. It was called Shasiyah. Tana, why was it given this name? Kishemimena Hushtasoil. From that stone, the whole world was established. That was the cornerstone of the world. Tanan Kamanda Omar, this Mishnah follows the Shita, which says, Mitzioin Nivra Ha'olam. Hashem began creating the world from Tzioin. Tzion, the Mepharshim say, is a sort of tzion, a marker, a signpost, the Beis HaMikdash, which was that point, that nekuda within the world, which connects us to the heavenly abode. So that represents the concept of spirituality in this world. That's why it's called tzion. Tzion, it's a mark, it's a marker for something higher. So that was the shirish of the world. That was the purpose of the world. The Beis HaMikdash, the Makom HaAvodah, the Ruchnius. So that was the source of the entire Bria. Eben Shasiyah, Mimena, from that point, the holiest place in the world, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, from that point, the entire world was created. The Sanya, as we find in the Brais. Rav Machlokes, Rav Lezer Omer, Olam Me'emtzo Isa Nivra. The world began from the middle, from the midpoint. Meaning the Beis HaMikdash, Tzion, Eben Shasiyah. He learns that the tachlis is where you begin from. The goal, the purpose, the objective, which is the Beis HaMikdash, to achieve spiritual shleimus, that was the purpose of the Bria, and that's where the Bria began. Everything else attached itself accordingly. Shenamar bitzekas ofar lemutzak. Initially, Hashem formed this glob of ofar, so it was one point, and onto that attached themselves many other globs. Urugavim, other globs, Yidubuku, were attached to that midpoint. So the midpoint was Tzion, Eben Shasiyah, which is the tachlis of the world. Rabbi Shua Eimer, Oilo Minatzod Nivra. Actually, Hashem began creating from the sides. Shenemar ki l'sheleg yoymar hoy eretz. So Hashem took the sheleg and turned into the eretz. We find the lashon v'geshem, matar, v'geshem, mitreis uzay, four l'shoynes, v'geshem and matar. So the Shelah came forth from all sides of the world and materialized into a world. Going to be sure the Tachlis is the midpoint of Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's the purpose of creation. The Kedusha that we attain in this world. But first you're going to create all the accessories, all the helpers, everything all around it. And then when everything's ready, you create the final product, the Tachlis, the Beis HaMikdash, which is meant to benefit from all the accessories which are meant to serve the Shekhinah and serve Kiddush. Similar to Gemara in Sanhedrin, which tells us that why did Hashem create Adam on the last day, on the Yom HaShishi, so that he enters the world with everything ready. She'akol muchan l'su'uda. Like I said, the table, cook the food, and then you bring your guests. Here as well, Rishu maintains that everything was created first to serve as a hachana, to serve as the Kiddusha, which comes all the way at the end, which is the real Tachlis. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Amar, he had a different version. Even Yor HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bayam, Hashem set forth a cornerstone at sea, and Mimenu Nishtas Oilam, from which the world was established. Nemar Alma Nehut Bo Oymi Yorah Even Pinosa, so the Even Apina, the cornerstone, was sunk into the sea. Chacham Aymer Mitzio Nivra. Chacham appeared to be following Rabbi Lezer Shita, that the world was created starting at the midpoint at the Tachlis, at Tzion, Mitzion, Nivert, Shnemar, Mizmer La'asif, Keil, Elokim Hashem, and describes the Briyas Olam, Vaymer, Mitzion, Michlal Yofi. We learn from here, Mimeno, from there, from Tzion, Muchlal Yofi Shel Olam was completed and formed the rest, the beauty of the world. Tanya Blaza God Laimer, Eila Toldos HaShemayim Varetz, Bihi Baram. These are the toldos of Shemayim and Eretz when they were created. B'yoyim asoyis Hashem alekim Eretz v'Shemayim. So he learns like this. Toldos Shemayim, all the things, all the celestial bodies found in the Shemayim, mishemayim nivru, were created from Shemayim material. So first Hashem created, the Shemayim, and from that He formed all the elements found within the heavens. And likewise, told us the Eretz, May Eretz Nivru, all the elements found within the Eretz were created from earth material. Chachamim Elu ve'Elu Metziyoy Nivru. Tosfos learns that Chachamim are not really disagreeing, they're just going back to the early discussion. What was the starting point of Bria? Elu ve'Elu, everything came along Mitziyan. Mitziyan Nivru, from the midpoint, from Yerushalayim, from Beis Hamikdash, Shenemar, Mizmel Asif Kela L'kim Hashem, Dibur Vayikra Aretz. So we find this pasuk that Hashem was deeper, Vayikra Aretz, means Hashem Hashem Nevoi. Everything Hashem created was from where? Va'omer, Mitziyan Mechlal Yoifi, Elokim Yoifia. And we learn from here, Mimeno, from Tziyan, which is the Tachlas Abriya, Muchlal Yoifi Shel Olam, was formed and completed the rest of the world, the beauty contained within the world. Okay, time for a brief review of today's main points. We discussed three shitas as per the makom of the Aron nowadays, either b'makomai down below at the Kodesh Kodeshim area, or it went to Bavel, or in Lishkas Hayetz. We learned that the Badei HaOron would protrude a bit through the Paroiches, and the Gemara tells us that it's meant to resemble the Shnei Dadi Isha, to denote the closeness of Hashem to Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara tells us further that they would roll up the Paroiches in order that Klal Yisrael can observe the Kruvim, which were Me'urin Zebezeh, like a Zoch and a Keva, to denote the Ava, Ish V'Isha, Hashem and Klal Yisrael. We have two ways to explain that Gemara. Either it was Mikdash Rishon, where the Kruvim were present, and the Paroiches being described is not that Paroiches used to replace the Amatraxin. Rather, the Paroiches against the Pesach within the Amatraxin. Or we're speaking about Mikdash Sheni, and the Kruvim were simply designs along the walls. We learned about the tremendous Ava displayed by Hashem, specifically during the Zman of the Churban Beis Hamikdash. And we learned several shittas as per the Bria Sa'olam, and more specifically, the Pshat in the Mishnah, Evan Shasiya, because that stone formed the basis of the world, Shemenu Nishta Sa'olam, which began from Tzion, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the holiest point in the world, which is the Tachlis Sa'olam. So that was first, and everything else followed. You know, there's a Chuvetz Radvaz. Speaking about Evan Shasiya, he describes the Evan Shasiya today as being that rock on the Makom HaMikdash, which the Goyim, they have the structure above it, and that's the rock, which is the Evan Shasiya. But he says, well, how can that be if the Evan Shasiya was just three etzpois above the ground, and that Evan Shasiya is actually very, very big. He says it's three floors high. So he says very simply, they dug out the area. They were doing some excavations, the Goyim, and indeed they discovered that this Evan Shasiya is very, very, very large. In fact, he says that it is related that the several kings, they out of curiosity, they found some chamber beneath Evan Shasiya, and they sent people down. They all died. So he writes, Radvaz writes, presumably that's the place where the Aron was hidden. The Mechelis, the tunnel, the chamber under the ground, in that very Makom. And that's why the explorers didn't make it out alive. Interesting, Tshuvas Radvaz. In any case, Shibonim Beis Hamidosh Meir Remeinu, Amen. Hatzlacha Rabba.